With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Manchester Is Red podcast from the Manchester Evening News. I'm Rich Fay and I'm delighted to be joined again by Samuel Luckhurst.
Hello.
And by Tyrone Marshall.
Hello.
It's nice to have you both back, and after the long international break, it's good to have club football back, but maybe United fans will be wishing it stayed away for another week, Samuel, because what they were treated to at the weekend was a mixed bag. It was nice to have Solskjaer officially unveiled as United manager at Old Trafford, but my word, it was a Van Gaal-esque performance to welcome him into the Old Trafford dugout.
Van Gaal, Mourinho, I mean, it was, after Wolves, probably their poorest performance under him. There was an awful lot wrong with it. It was a little bit too rigid. He afterwards said that I'd put that down to the international break and lethargy of that, but given the amount of withdrawals and six players went away, two of them started on Saturday, one was De Gea, you can't use that as an excuse. There's a definite fitness issue at United whereby they weren't fit enough under Mourinho and they're not fit enough for Solskjaer and the intensity that he wants to see them playing at that high tempo. And of course, there were some players that had been injured recently, but it just wasn't fluid. With the exception of the period between the Rashford goal and half-time, Watford were the better side. I think it was a credit to Jones and Smalling, who were probably United's best players, that they restricted Watford to no clear-cut chances apart from the Doucouré goal, which came right at the death. But there was just an element of complacency about some of the players. Pogba showboating at 1-0 up, that irked a fair section of the crowd, and understandably so. Just, I think Solskjaer got it right afterwards when he said that the best players for him were Jones, Smalling, Shaw and Rashford. Rashford was working pretty hard before he scored. He had a little pep talk with Solskjaer early on, and I don't think it was a coincidence that he really got going after that. But it's like someone like Martial, I gave him a 6 out of 10, but that was mainly because he'd scored and it was the winning goal. Otherwise, you're looking at a 3 or a 4 out of 10 because he was really not good again. So Solskjaer did say on Thursday, if players who get complacent won't last at this club. So it was slightly disconcerting for him, I suppose, even taking into account the international break and all that. That stuff that some of the players did were complacent at the weekend.
Tyrone, I guess that all that matters at the end of the day is that it is 3 points, ooh, especially the fact that United bounced back from two consecutive defeats under Solskjaer. I guess in terms of quality, the game won't live long in the memory, but it could be a real pivotal moment for Solskjaer, especially after the club backed him despite losing those two games ahead of the international break.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it is just a case of getting those wins and edging closer to the top four. There'll be elements of the performance that will concern him. As we said, United weren't great. They didn't exude control in that game. They weren't the dominant team throughout. They weren't as in control of a game as he would like them to be. Part of that is fitness issues. He's mentioned a few times now that the players aren't as fit as he wants them to be. And, you know, he's mentioned his Mulder teams and how they're always the fittest in the league, and that's what he wants. And United aren't there at the moment. They're not going to get there until they've had a full pre-season under him. So, you know, you can understand it from that regard. But, you know, against Watford, you would like to see United at Old Trafford more dominant than they were, certainly. But as you say, it was a win. It was 3 points. Moved them up, perhaps albeit temporarily, but moved them up into the top four. So that was the most important aspect. And just sort of starting the permanent reign with a win as well, it just kind of, results-wise, kind of gets that momentum going again. You mentioned those two defeats before the international break. Arsenal, perhaps understandable, you know, it was going to happen at some point. The Wolves performance was a disappointing one, and it was important it didn't become three in a row and sort of really stall momentum before it even got going as permanent manager. So in that regard, I think it was an important win, and it's something to build on heading into tomorrow night.
I think, Rich, you were admiring the new press room at the time. It was. And just how resplendent it is now at Old Trafford. But you, the Van Gaal thing's interesting, that we said earlier, because a Norwegian reporter did say to him, very matter-of-fact, like, shouldn't you be dominating a team like Watford? And he said, what do you mean, a team like Watford? And Van Gaal had that infamous quote about how he bragged about they kept Sheffield United out. They restricted them to no attempts on target that time. So there was an element of that. Watford are a pretty decent side, but you do expect an awful lot,
especially
more
away from home as well. They've been better at home, haven't they, Watford?
Yeah, and I thought I suppose one of the reassuring things was that he said afterwards in the embargo section to us, he said that it was like a funeral in the dressing room afterwards. You want that kind of reaction. And also on the hour mark, when it came to making changes, he was more proactive, whereas he was reactive. I felt at Wolves, that was a big mistake he made there. And the two players he hooked in Mata and Herrera, I don't think it was a complete coincidence. Those are two players who are now in the last 3 months of their contracts.
Yeah, Tyrone, it was interesting to see the changes that he did make. And as we said, Watford, they had one eye maybe on the FA Cup next weekend, but they were definitely up for it. And I guess the manner that United did hold out, and defensively, they were shaky at times, but as Samuel said earlier, Jones and Smalling were both excellent. And in the absence of Lindelof as well, that's got to be a huge boost, really, that another sort of partnerships formed under Solskjaer, and those two look solid again.
Yeah, they have. And there's been encouraging signs defensively, and both Smalling and Jones have had good spells alongside Lindelof. What it can't do is gloss over the cracks in that defence and the fact that United do need, you know, an elite level, world class centre half bringing in this summer. They can't look at encouraging performances from those defenders and think, well, let's give it another year. You know, we might develop a partnership. Smalling and Jones have had many a year to prove that they're of that standard, and they're not. They're the good squad players, good options to have, but they're not the type of centre-half that's going to, at this moment, it doesn't seem going to win you a league. Obviously, they've both won leagues in the past, but you wouldn't fancy either of them alongside Lindelof to be a long-term solution for United, so you can't gloss over that. But yeah, there were encouraging performances from both of them to go on, certainly, but I still don't think, you know, I think Lindelof comes back in and it's one or other of those two.
Someone else who came back in, Marcus Rojo, made a surprise cameo from the bench. Christ, Samuel, I think we were all surprised to see him out of the substitutes. He came off of Marshall as well in the end, which showed maybe just how under the cosh United were in those final 15 minutes. But
Marcus, and how unfit Lukaku was as well, probably.
But Marcus Rojo is a brief cameo, a couple of tackles, I seem to recollect. But he's another player whose future at Old Trafford needs to be decided in the next 3 months, really.
Or maybe it's been decided already. I mean, Solskjaer, I think we've learned pretty quickly with his press conferences, he's not wholly transparent when he talks about injuries, when he talks about players' futures. He has said he's told Woodward which players need to come and go. You would think, I think a lot of United fans probably hope that Rojo is on the go list. Darmian's got to be another one. Valencia is going. I think Alexis Sanchez, if United could get rid of him, they would do. But certainly with that defensive area, I mean, it is, as Ty says, it would be very, very naive and a real knee-jerk decision for them to just see a couple of good performances. Last season there were about four performances with Smalling and Jones that kind of like encapsulate them as a partnership. You've got the positive one, which is them pocketing Harry Kane in the FA Cup semi-final, and the FA Cup Twitter account tweeting about how brilliant Chris Smalling was. The flip side of that is against the same opposition at the same stadium, Wembley. They lose 2-0. Jones scores an own goal, and even in the FA Cup final, they're back again together, and Jones gives away the penalty that Hazard scores and wins the FA Cup. They are always going to have a moment where they just press the reset button and something just goes spectacularly wrong. Smalling's not done it too much this season. He did do it in the Everton home game when he gave away, I mean, it was one of the stupidest tackles all season, that foul on Bernardo, and he was also on a booking. He probably should have been sent off at that point. If Everton did score the penalty, it's 2-1 and they've got a man advantage over United with about 20 odd minutes. So they are always going to do that. One fan tweeted me on when I made the point that two central defenders get injured, and you've got Smalling, Jones and Rojo, which are all, two of them Ferguson signings, one's a Van Gaal signing. The fans said, well, you're sensationalising it. Fergie bought these kids with potential. I mean, why people are talking about Jones and Smalling as potential is mystifying. One is turning 30 this year, the other's turning 27. There could be a freak occurrence if United weren't to sign a player in the summer and somehow Smalling and Jones stay fit, which is another concern altogether, for next season, and they win the league. I mean, I don't think it will happen, but I don't think many people would have thought Wes Morgan and Robert Huth would be a central defensive partnership that would win the Premier League. But you've just got to, I mean, that's always, someone will always come with you with that and say, well, they don't need, you can't say that because these guys won it. But Leicester was just a complete and utter freak. It's not going to happen again in our lifetime, probably. So it's just an area that they need to address. And it's frankly embarrassing that they still have to stoop to the level of Rojo coming in these games.
Yeah, I guess Tyrone may be the only consolation in terms of the performance in that fans is the fact that even though it's been so good under Solskjaer, they have revived their hopes of a top four finish, that performances like that are a reminder to the board that this team is a long way off challenging for a title at the moment, and it does still need heavy investment at the end of the season. There can't be any excuses now. They've appointed the manager, they need to back him, and Saturday maybe showed that.
Yeah, they do. And you know, Solskjaer was very honest about the performance afterwards and admitting that, you know, it wasn't up to the standards he expects. And there's been, you know, these sort of performances have happened at Old Trafford before Solskjaer's time. They've been, you know, semi-regular since the Ferguson days. Teams have become more emboldened coming to Old Trafford, but United are not controlling games to the level they were at home under Ferguson either. And that is an issue that they need to look at. And you know, new signings are going to help with that, obviously. I think they need more control in midfield. Defensively, improvements will help that. So, yeah, it is another eye-opener that they do need to spend in the summer, but I'm sure they're aware of that. And Solskjaer's said a few times now over the last week or so that, you know, he's had conversations to that regard, that they need to strengthen in the summer. So, but I thought, you know, it was encouraging to hear him being so honest about the performance afterwards, and like Sam said, what he said about what it was like in the dressing room. It's encouraging to hear that honesty from a manager when many would just gloss over it and say, we've got the win, that's all that matters. But there is, as important as the 3 points are, there is a bigger picture to look at in terms of the development of the team and the tactics under Solskjaer as well.
Yeah, and with Spurs losing on the weekend and Arsenal play on Monday night, the game against Wolves now on Tuesday gets even more important. Of course, if they were to win these two games, and that game against Watford looks even better then as well, Samuel. So the game against Wolves, we've already spoken, maybe the likes of Mata, Herrera and Martial might be lucky to start that game. What type of changes would you expect to see? Because in that FA Cup game, it seemed certain that United should have gone 3-5-2 and they didn't, and they ultimately paid the price. Do you think a formation change could be on the cards for Tuesday?
I think you always have to, I mean, it would have been logical back then. He's got to consider it at the very least, given how badly it went at Wolves, but they have got more players available and fitter players, you'd think, as well. So maybe he will stick with the 4-3-3. But I think what underpins the 4-3-3 formation when United do use it is Lingard, because he's so mobile, because he doesn't have a fixed role, he's very fluid, he links the other players, he encourages other players to show to have a bit more freedom about their positional awareness. And when he came on at the weekend, of course, he got the assists, and he gave them just an injection of energy, really, which is not what you get with Mata. But that you look in certain areas, I mean, with someone like Nemanja Matic, who is really, I think it's safe to say that he is regressing at the moment. He's played enough since he came back from injury to have that opinion on him. When given Wolves' propensity for hitting teams on the counter-attack, he's not exactly a player you want chasing back, trying to challenge Jota or another one of Wolves' forwards. So he's already said he is going to freshen it up, and I think Lingard coming in is an absolute given, and you'd probably see maybe one or two other areas. But even though Lindelof is, you know, he's available again, Solskjaer indicated, I think there's every chance that he could keep Smalling and Jones, which would have been unthinkable a week ago, given that Lindelof's probably the front runner for the club's Player of the Season award.
Yeah, Taran, I think the fact that they did play him just prior to the international breaks will add an extra dimension to the game. What do you think United will have learnt from that defeat, though, in the FA Cup?
Well, one of the things they really struggled with that night was breaking down Wolves' back three. Solskjaer said then he did consider a back three. He'd obviously been toying around with the idea, so I'm sure they'll consider it again. But I think the issue is they need to have discovered a way to try and create better chances against that Wolves defence. This is presuming Wolves play their strongest team, because obviously they've got the FA Cup semi-final coming up. Nuno's been suggesting they will, I think, today, but you never know, he might make the odd change. But the difficulty United had that day was that they couldn't break down Wolves' defence, they couldn't create good chances, and from midway through the first half they were resorting to long-range efforts. So having a much fitter Lingard available, I think, will make a difference, because as Samuel says, he's so important in that team and the way they play. He links midfield and attack. He can fill both roles, really. It's like having two players in the team. He can be a member of the third man of the attack, can drop into midfield and help out. And he's such an intelligent footballer that he creates space for others. So I think that'll help. But yeah, I think the biggest challenge is going to be breaking that Wolves defence down and working out how to create better chances against them.
You might see Pogba play a little bit deeper in an attempt to do that, because he did talk about using Pogba in a deeper role, given that's where he plays for France. I think all that talk about Pogba has to play in a left of a midfield three, that's gone out the window over the last year or so, because he played in a two at the World Cup. The caveat with that was that you weren't seeing Pogba at his absolute optimum. Mourinho's assessment of him was actually quite fair, even though it clearly rubbed Pogba up the wrong way, in that he was disciplined, his focus was unwavering, because he was in that close environment for a month to just win the World Cup, and he did that. And you saw the goal he created for Griezmann the other week against Moldova, I think it was. So he's got that in his locker, and he claimed a few assists like that with Ibrahimovic a couple of seasons ago as well, where there were long balls over the top. To say they were long balls is a bit disingenuous. They were quality yeah. passes that he found Ibrahimovic with. So that is something to look at, but you do need that runner who's going to be supplementing the striker or the front two if it is a 3-5-2 they go with, and normally that would be his role. When you look at the alternatives, United haven't got really an expert at that. Herrera is probably a decent shout. I think there have been times where they should have played Lingard in as one of the three central midfielders. I think that's a role that he could certainly do. People often forget he first came into the United team, it seemed like he was in there more for his defensive discipline than his actual attacking instincts, but he's become a very, very good forward. So there are a lot of options, even though you look at every department, you think there's a flaw here, there's a flaw there. There are ways for them to be more innovative against Wolves. And let's face it, if Wolves are to make changes, which they probably will do, that is going to help United, you'd have thought. And Wolves, the biggest game for them this week, undoubtedly, is the semi-final on Sunday.
Yeah, certainly. And we touched on it earlier, Taran, how last time it was United did well early on, because they sort of killed off that Wolves momentum and the whole sort of occasion of it all, and they managed to subdue the home fans. But it's going to be another tough midfield battle again this Tuesday night. Do you think there's a good chance of McTominay or Fred coming back into the midfield? I mean, they were both so good prior to the international break, but they've sort of dropped out of favour again, so supporters are still maybe mixed opinions on the both of them. Would you give either of them a chance?
I think it's unlikely. Perhaps Fred. He could rest Matic, but with no game at the weekend, I'm not sure he will. Herrera and Bernardo at the weekend wasn't hugely impressive. Fred could come in, but I just think when everyone's fit, I think that's his favoured midfield three. And a game, you know, away at Wolves is, outside of Big Six, is probably the toughest Premier League game you're going to have all season, especially with their record against those Big Six sides. So I think it would be unlikely. I think he'll probably stick with that midfield three. I can't see too many changes in that area. Fred would be the only one. Or if he goes for a diamond midfield, you could bring Fred in and play all four of them and perhaps play Pogba further up. I mean, as something says, there are a lot of tactical options and tactical flexibility within that squad. Lingard provides you that, Pogba can provide you that in midfield. So there are different ways of approaching it. A three at the back, a diamond, a 4-3-3. They have got versatile options within the squad to go with that. But I wouldn't have thought... I think if he plays a three-man midfield, I think it would be Matic, Herrera and Pogba.
It's a difficult team to predict. I don't think anyone would do that.
Maybe I should stop asking you. We shall see. So I guess one question I've seen fans asking lately in the last few days has been, what's happened to the youngsters? The involvement seems to be disappearing in recent weeks. Greenwood came on against Arsenal, and then there was none involved at Wolves, none involved against Watford. Do you think it's just Solskjaer playing his strongest side because it's so important?
Most of the players are back from injury now. He took Brandon Williams and the rest of them to Paris because they had so many injuries, and Pogba was suspended. It wasn't like they played so brilliantly for the under-23s or anything like that. It's just a case that the squad's a bit fuller. It's a little bit fitter now. Gomez did travel to Wolves. I imagine that was because Solskjaer took so many unfit players there that they had to decide on, you know, that there could have been a complication along the way and he might have had to come onto the bench. Garner and Greenwood were in the director's box on Saturday, we saw. So I don't know whether that was significant, whether they were involved going ahead. What I would say is that I think there might be some more interest in the under-23 game on Friday night because, one, it is at Old Trafford, but also given the eight-day gap between Wolves and the Barcelona game next week, it's an obvious time to play Greenwood, Chong, Gomez and Garner, give them playing time, not just playing time in the reserves, which isn't particularly advantageous as we've seen from watching that level this season, but just give them minutes at Old Trafford as well. I know it's in front of just one stand really, or like a third of a stand that's full, but they need some football, given that they've not been as involved since the PSG game, and I think there are only three games left in the under-23 calendar, which is a completely separate topic. Just the running of that league is terrible.
I think that's a topic for the summer, isn't it? And maybe the hole you've set up at United
it is,
at the moment.
At United, at academy level, in terms of the youth team, the team that plays in the Youth Cup and the Youth League, I think it's fine, but when they outgrow that level and it's under-23 football, it's not good for any of the players at that level at any club. I think most of the clubs would share the same view on it. I remember a number of years ago Benitez was talking up the possibility of the reserve teams going into the championship, which is commonplace in Spain, which didn't go down well. It the more you think about it, the more logical it thinks, not necessarily in the championship, because I think that's a brilliant league that doesn't need fueling with reserve sides, but there's got to be an alternative way of going about it. And the bad news for United is that because they do toss it off in the under-23s, Nicky Butt said that the youth league's important, the youth cup's important. He's pretty much said the under-23 football isn't a priority. They've not got promoted for next season, so they're not going to be playing against the top academies, in inverted commas, if you like. So, as I said, I think there could be some more interest around the Friday night game because it is at Old Trafford and those four could play.
You might have an exciting Tuesday night in Wolverhampton again for you, Tyrone. Looking forward to another lights display ahead of kickoff.
Well, they seem to do it for every game, so I'm sure we will be treated to some combination of lights and disco music and fireworks that they seem to use to...
Make it
such a special occasion every night at Molineux.
I'm sure Samuel will poke the fires of the Wolves Twitter army again with his...
were they particularly wound up by it? I saw one... Let me choose my words carefully here. One tweeter, I suppose, said something along those lines, but then he was also watching the rugby or something like that. So I immediately took a dim view of him.
You have lots of fireworks in the rugby, though, don't they? So they've got to get the occasion in, the excitement somehow, haven't they, if the sport didn't live up to it. But
yes, It's just a bit Americanized. They get the Super Bowl. That's what it lives off. But as I said, when they tried it with the FA Cup a couple of years ago, and it delayed the kickoff, I don't think that went down very well at all.
At least that's the one positive. You're not getting knocked out of the FA Cup, maybe.
Yeah, don't have to endure whoever.
Little mix at Wembley or something.
Pretty much razzmatazz.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have enough of that tomorrow night.
Sure, I'm sure. We'll be looking forward to see what disco tunes they come up with this time.
We shall see. Thank you very much, Samuel. Thank you very much, Tyrone, for joining us this week on the Manchester Is Red podcast. Please join us later in the week when we analyse the game against Watford and, of course, look ahead to that massive Champions League game against Barcelona next week. Please leave a like and subscribe if you haven't already, and join us next time on the Manchester Is Red podcast.